what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy, Tim Gettys.
It's only a Tuesday, Bless.
Yeah?
So many games to play, so little time. This last couple days has been actually so much fun with games. We're recording Gamescast later today, and I'm so excited because I haven't talked to anybody about the games I've been playing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm very excited to have those conversations, but I'm in a weird place where I'm kind of the reverse, where I was reviewing multiple games.
Yeah.
I've now finished those games, and I'm looking at my PlayStation, and my Xbox, and my PC, and my Switch. I'm looking at all of it, and I'm like, what do I pick up? Do I pick up anything? Right? Like, I have a couple other codes that I could dive into, but like, I'll pick up a game and I'm like, ooh, this just seems too much for me right now.
What are you winching towards? Is there something in there that you're like, are you looking at the Switch? You're like, maybe that? You're looking at the PC, maybe
one
that?
One of them I can't talk about because it's not come out yet because it's a code that we have. But I'm like looking at it, I'm like, gosh, do I do it? Another one is Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
like,
been going around.
And I picked it up. I've been doing this weird rigmarole where I downloaded New Vegas on my laptop here at work. And yesterday I didn't have much to do. I was really ahead on prepping Game Showdown stuff. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll play a little bit of New Vegas. Realized that my save data from my Xbox save of New Vegas didn't transfer to my PC because the game's so old, they just don't have that kind of compatibility. And so I was like, okay, well, oh man, I thought this was gonna work. This isn't gonna work. And so I did pick it up when I got home. But I'm in a weird place in the game where I played some of it about two years ago. And picking it back up, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm rusty. I'm also in like this dungeony area that is kicking my ass right now. Do I put this down? Do I start over? Do I just play more Fallout 76? I don't know. I'm in a weird place where I don't know what to play.
It's Final Fantasy 16 DLC. Not too much of an investment.
Have you finished it?
I did. I'll talk more about it on Gamescast.
How long is it?
Both DLCs all in to get everything you want to get out of it, I'd say probably 6 hours total.
Oh, like, that's way less than I was thinking.
A little conservative. Like, I'd say like maximum 10 hours. Between it, like 5 hours each, but like that's if you're really doing all the things and you don't need to. Like, we'll talk more later. But like, the boss fights are absolutely worth getting to, and I think you're gonna love them.
And so that's the weird thing for me where I was looking at that and I was like, okay, do I do this? But I'm not in the right mood. I think that's the other thing is I'm like, do I just not play anything? Because I just got done with two video games.
That's an option too. That's an option. I think you'll enjoy the DLC.
Yeah,
but we'll talk later.
We'll talk about that later
today, actually. For Kinda Funny members, they can watch live as we record it.
Can they watch live? I don't think they can watch live.
Not for this one.
No. I'm 100% sure they cannot watch live for this one.
Sorry.
But you can all watch it
everybody
tomorrow when it goes live for everybody. For now, though, what we can talk about today is video game news. Because today's stories include why Samus didn't make it into Fortnite, Embracer CEO on criticism, and more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, a new Kind of Funny podcast is up all about Bluey.
We talk a lot about Bluey. I learned a lot, and I learned that I love it.
I was eating lunch in the kitchen area yesterday, and I look up, and like I can see what Greg Miller's looking at his desk. He's just watching an episode of Bluey.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, certainly Greg's answering some like important emails. Uh-huh. Certainly maybe he's catching up on a review he's just watching Bluey.
He's watching Bluey, dude. I get it.
Good for you. a grown man watching Bluey at
8
work.
8-minute bite-sized episodes. What more could you ask for?
Bless. Believe it or not, it was research to pick a video to show Tim to get him hooked.
Which we did on the podcast.
That makes it better. Imagine like you walk by my desk and I'm just watching Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
You would have something to say.
100%. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just looking. I'm like, Greg Miller's watching Bluey.
Yeah.
And I understand that Bluey is I've not seen an episode of Bluey, but I've heard many adults talk about how they like Bluey.
Yeah. And that's my thing. That was kind of the topic. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the KF podcast, you'll hear all about it. But Greg was essentially like, yo, this is actually a great show, even if you don't have kids and whatever. And I know that you wouldn't watch it if you don't have kids. He's like, but Tim, I'm going to make you watch an episode so you get it. And I'll watch an episode. Bless. I get it now.
I saw one clip. I don't want to spoil Bluey.
That was a big part of the conversation too.
It's hot right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it because I did see a clip on Twitter of like a scene that's supposed to be like this heartfelt, like sad scene. And I was like, okay, like if I had the context for this, I could see maybe this hitting, but it's also odd because it looks so much like a Nick Jr. show that it's hard to put myself in that frame of mind of, oh yeah, but like I can see how this hits.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Really does though. It reminds me, from what I saw, it reminds me of the Pixar shorts. But just extended, and it's a show. Like the shorts that played before a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's real good stuff.
The bow one that played, I think, before Incredibles?
Two, yeah.
Yeah, Incredibles 2. I remember liking a lot. I think there was another one about a volcano.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the same one?
I lava you. Yeah, that wasn't the same one. There's only one per movie.
Yeah, but for some whatever reason,
volcanoes and bows. I don't think we're.
Yeah,
together.
I'm like for some reason in my mind, I saw both of them before Incredibles 2. Maybe was it Onward? Did Onward have a short?
I don't remember.
Didn't it have one that was similar to the? Was it the what's his face goes on a date? The guy from Up.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's what Onwards was.
That's a really good memory because I would never have pulled that.
Kevin loves Onward.
Onward hit me so
dude, Onward
hard.
Is. I've been thinking about Onward a lot recently.
It's a really good movie.
Because I was having a conversation with friends about Pixar movies and how I feel like just Disney as a whole hasn't been hitting me as much. And I'm like, maybe it's age. Maybe it's like I'm just not feeling magic or whatever. And we were going through the list of like, well, what was the last Pixar movie that really hit for you? And I was like, it might have been Onward. I think Onward was my shit.
Well, that wasn't many ago.
It was like 2020 though.
Uh-huh.
And it's like not as many. Like it's not, I feel like pound for pound, Disney, with Disney had its name on it, I'm into it. But then I saw like what people were talking about Wish or whatever it was, like
no
the last Disney.
No one was talking about that movie.
And, yeah, that's the thing. Is that like, yeah, like Wish came and went so fast. And I'm like, what happened? But then they were like, have you seen Encanto? And I'm like, no, I'm not seeing Encanto. Maybe I gotta watch Encanto.
Have you seen Turning Red?
I have seen Turning Red. I like Turning Red.
I feel like that one, especially because it's like in San Francisco and like, that hits pretty hard too.
It's not.
No,
it's Toronto.
Is it? Yeah, no, it might be Toronto. That sounds right.
But it takes place in like
Big Hero 6 was
2000s.
In San. Well, it was in San Francisco.
Baby.
It's a different thing. But yeah, shout out Big Hero 6. That's also another good one.
And Inside Out was San Francisco.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess they moved to SF.
Pixar's located in the Bay Area, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Enough about that. Let's talk about how today. Well, actually, first of all, let's talk about our Patreon producers. Thank y'all to Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by the Kinda Funny membership, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, Donald Mustard reveals why Nintendo wouldn't let Samus join Fortnite. This is Michael Cripe at IGN. Former Epic Games Chief Creative Officer Donald Mustard has explained why Fortnite was never able to add a Nintendo representative like Samus Aran as a playable character. Fortnite has raged on as one of the biggest crossover titles in pop culture for nearly 7 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
7 years ago Fortnite came out?
Yeah, honestly, that feels right. It's hard to remember a time that Fortnite didn't exist.
I do.
Like, to me, it's like there's a before time and then there's
I feel like 2016 just happened.
Life's been good.
Well, yeah, for nearly 7 years, and that's thanks to the long list of characters from across movies, TV, and games that it features. With PlayStation and Xbox mascots like Kratos and Master Chief available already as playable characters, many fans expected to one day see a Nintendo character join the fray. When documents revealed that Epic had once considered the possibility of including someone like Samus, excitement grew even more. However, Mustard said the chances of the sci-fi bounty hunter appearing in Fortnite are currently pretty slim. He opened up about some behind-the-scenes talks at Epic during an interview with Steven Totillo's Gamefile, saying Nintendo wasn't interested in seeing its characters appear on other consoles. Quote, they got really hung up on their characters showing up on platforms that weren't their platforms, Mustard explained. Fortnite is available on nearly every game-playing device players can get their hands on. Were Mario to appear in Fortnite on Switch, he would need to also appear on PlayStation, Xbox, and even mobile platforms too. Quote, they would be thrilled to have Nintendo characters in Fortnite, but just only if it's on their platform, he continued. Epic could theoretically release Samus as a Nintendo Switch exclusive character, but Mustard said the company isn't interested in walling off content from other players. Quote, for me and for all of Epic, that is an absolute must. That's a quote. We wanted to make sure that Fortnite is the same experience no matter what screen or device you're playing on, he said. It's not surprising. I feel like this lines up with everything we've thought when it comes to why isn't Mario or Samus or any of these characters in Fortnite.
You know, Greg Miller's out here just talking so much shit about PC gamers. And he's just like, oh, they have so many problems. Look at me over. I play my PlayStation, all that. I get to sit here cultured as a Nintendo fanboy. And I get to be like, look at all the characters that I have. Look at all the games that I get to play on the Nintendo Switch. And look at how well or not well they run, bless.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't matter, okay? Mm-hmm. Me and you, we're together. We're on the same side here. We get to look at all these fucking fools play on PlayStation and Xbox, and they don't get to play with Mario.
We don't.
They don't get Samus.
But also, we don't get to play as Mario in Fortnite either.
But we get to play as Mario in Mario. They don't fucking get to do that. You know what I mean? They're out here fucking playing with Nathan Drake. Good for them.
I mean, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is you can't play that on the Switch.
You're right. You're making good points, but they don't get to play with Samus. They don't get to play with Mario.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's a really good point.
All jokes aside, you're so right. This isn't a surprise. What the fuck's wrong with you, Nintendo? What's wrong with you?
Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me, but things are changing and they should change. Like with the way that everything is going and the way that these crossover games happen. And like, look at Smash Brothers, one of Nintendo's biggest successes ever. Why? Because other people play nice with them. Yeah. Play nice with others. It only helps. And like, I don't think this needs to be a like, oh man, the floodgates are open. Every single thing has to be able to be on every single console, whatever. That'd be great too in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I do think that like certain things that just make sense should happen. Games like Fortnite deserve Nintendo characters. They've earned it.
Mm. See, this is interesting because I'm going to take the opposite side. I see where Nintendo's heads are at here. And I think this is going to come off as hypocritical because I've talked about on the Xbox side. Yeah, Xbox should just put their games everywhere. I've even mentioned on the PlayStation side, why is it Helldivers 2 everywhere? Fuck it, put Spider-Man on Xbox, right? Like I ride or die for like that side of things of, for the consumer, it is a net positive to see things go third party, to have things available everywhere, because why wouldn't I want to play whatever game I want to play anywhere I would want to play it, right? Like, that's kind of the objective stance that I take. When I get to Nintendo, though, I feel like for Nintendo, if you're letting people pick up a PlayStation controller and control Samus, what do you have then, right? Like, I feel like Nintendo, what you have as your sole identity as a platform and your main selling factor is that this is the only place that you can play as Mario, play as Samus, play as Link. If you give up that identity, I think as Nintendo, then you have nothing.
But the thing with that, though, is they've already given it up. You can play Mario on phones. Mario Run.
Like, yeah, that's phones.
I know, but like, what's the difference there? Like, it's not, playing on Nintendo consoles is not the only place that we can play. And like, I understand that there is a difference between mobile and PlayStation.
I think it's an entirely different market is the thing, right? Like, you're not going to Fortnite to play console
that
games.
Different of a market? I'm not so sure. Like, I feel like Fortnite, again, I'm not saying that Mario and Samus should be in every single game. I just think that Fortnite has proven that playing as Samus in that game, I don't know. I think that they've earned that, right? I think that Fortnite and its popularity on the Switch even, like, that makes sense to me. And I don't think it makes sense for every single game. Like, I do think that crossover events and Fortnite proving how well they do them. Yeah, Nintendo is like one of the glaring omissions that they don't have. And it's like, why don't they have them? It's clearly on Nintendo's side. And it's like, you know, is it in Nintendo's right to do this? Sure. But I do think it's silly. And at the end of the day, having Samus in Fortnite only helps Nintendo. It does not hurt Nintendo. It only makes Metroid Prime sales slightly better. It does not hurt those sales.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. But I also think that, like, it is, are you making this caveat, or are you making the sacrifice for who you define yourself as a company, right? Like, let's put Samus on in Fortnite and like let people play as Samus on PlayStation or whatever else it is, to then sell more probably a few more copies of Metroid. I don't think that makes Metroid like catch fire in the way that Nintendo's probably always wanted it to do. Cool, you're selling a few more copies of Metroid. What else? Right, like,
but I mean, like, you think back to other like collaborations in the past, things like NBA Street or things like Soul Calibur, and those characters were exclusive on the Nintendo version of the game. Yeah. But they were still like, what's the difference, really? Like, I don't like Nintendo.
Well, I mean, I think Nintendo would be down
sacred
for that. Like, from the story, right?
Yeah, it seems
like,
for sure.
Yeah, for me, that's the difference. Like, if like I think a volume NBA Street Volume 3, if it was a PlayStation version, we're also playing as Mario. I think it's a different world we're living in here, right?
But like, what's your argument though of like what they're holding sacred? Literally playing it on a Nintendo console, like that's the difference there? Because like if it's still Peach fucking, you know, dribbling the ball in between Shaq's legs, like if that's already the experience that they're sharing and it's like it's the game, what matters what console it's on?
I think that's just the Nintendo thing, right? Like, I think this is who they've always been from the get-go is, hey, you're only playing, like, I think for Nintendo, the idea of giving up any ground in terms of letting Zelda be playable on whatever other platform or letting any of our characters be playable on a different platform is like the first step to them just losing everything. Like, okay, I think it's the antithesis of what we talk about with Xbox and PlayStation, where when we talk about like the Xbox identity, so much of it is in ecosystem and platform and technology, and we have Xbox cloud streaming, and so it makes sense for you to play Xbox games on your Samsung TV or Xbox games on PlayStation, whatever. Same with PlayStation, when we're talking about God of War going to PC or whatever. At the end of the day, that is all contributing back to the PlayStation ecosystem, which is monetized in so many different ways. For me, like, the number one way Nintendo is monetized is by going, hey, we are, I mean, Disney, right? We are like the Apple. We are a closed platform that you can only get this kind of experience. If you want to play as Samus, you have to buy a Switch. Like, you have to, or maybe have a phone if you put a Samus, like, a Metroid mobile game out on phone, yeah. Right? But I do think that's an entirely different thing. I think Nintendo,
but
in
I
terms
think
of
it
console
wasn't a
gaming,
different thing. I think that's the thing, is it's only a different thing until it's not. And my argument is it shouldn't be anymore, because while that is how things were, there was a time where Nintendo would only make game, like, allow their IP to be made by them. But then Capcom made a Zelda, you know? Sega's made Nintendo games, like,
but that's different.
Star Fox was made. Well, for me, that's different. Kings of Hyrule given to an indie team, like, that's all stuff that back in the day would have been like, not a fucking chance they would ever allow that to happen. But then Square made Mario RPG.
Yeah, but it's all playable on Nintendo stuff.
Exactly, but that's the one thing where I'm like, I feel like holding on to that as a thing. It's like they've had stuff before that's changed. I feel like this is like the most outdated thing. And the mobile thing, I do think, is slightly different than other consoles, but like, that's something that would have been like, Nintendo will never allow Mario to be on mobile. And then they did. And mobile was the thing Nintendo was looking at back when they did that as its biggest competition. They weren't looking at PlayStation and Xbox. They were looking at the mobile gamers. They were looking at the, like, the opposite of the hardcore. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. I think for me, it's just, this just aligns so much with who they are as a company, and, like, again, the way they sell things, the way they monetize things, the way that they look at their own platforms. And, like, for me, I think between Epic and Nintendo, I don't think there's a quote-unquote bad guy here in terms of whose fault this is or why this isn't happening, right? Because, like, I also am on the side of Epic of, hey, if the only way for us to do this is to only allow these characters to be playable on the Switch, then we don't want to do it, because in the same way, like, that's on Epic, right? That is who they are as an identity, especially when it comes to Fortnite. We want any character to be playable on any platform. That's why it's so cool to see, like, I assume this is the case. I'm not checked it, right? But, like, Kratos, if I pick up my Fortnite account, I can play as Kratos if I'm playing on Switch. Chat, correct me if I'm wrong about that, right? But, like, for me, that's the neat thing about Fortnite. That's what makes Fortnite work, right? It is the fact that, like, it is this thing that's available in the same way everywhere. And yeah, like, I think on both the Epic side, cool, like, that is your vision for your thing, that is your, like, that is the ground you don't want to give up. And, like, on the Nintendo side, I also get it, right? Hey, like, when we talk about, like, why people buy a Switch or why people buy a Nintendo platform, it is the fact of, I am buying this so I can play Nintendo games. That is why we see Animal Crossing sell 50 million. That's why we see Mario games sell anywhere from 20 to 40 million copies, right? That's why we see Zelda sell so much, is that we can only buy and play as these characters on that platform. I think when it goes to skins,
I'm with you about buying the games, but to play as the characters, that is, I think, a step too far. Yeah. Playing as the characters is advertisement for the games.
I don't think Nintendo ever changes this.
I think they do.
I think this is part of, like, their core tenets of who they are, right? Like, you are only, we cannot let you pick up a PlayStation controller and play as Mario. I think that is how Nintendo sees
it.
Now, for me, plenty of people do it. Right, listen.
I mean, I do it on the Switch. They let you use the PlayStation controller.
Wait, do they?
Yeah. I mean, just you, like, with the...
But that's Bluetooth? Like a third-party type thing, right?
You have to have some kind
of third-party adapter.
I don't know if you do.
Mm-hmm.
You can use other controllers on the Switch, though.
Sure. And, like, I guess
I just feel like we start getting into really silly arguments with it.
Well, when I say PlayStation controller, I specifically mean you're not playing as much. At least you bought a Switch to play Mario on, right? Like, they don't want you to buy a PlayStation and be able to play as Mario on that thing. I think it is a hardcore line to draw in the sand, but I also think that for them it's a necessary, but it's a line we're drawing. Like, this is, as long as we have that labeled as clear of, we don't do this as Nintendo, it never becomes a question of, like, getting into the minutia and having our audience confused about when not can they play as Mario on our platform or not.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it happens.
Oh man, I don't think it ever happens.
Yeah,
but we'll see. Moving on to story number two. Embracer CEO Lars Wingfors says he deserves a lot of criticism. This is James Bachelor at gamesindustry.biz. Lars Wingfors, CEO of the Embracer Group, has acknowledged the backlash against himself and his company in the wake of mass layoffs and studio closures. Speaking to GamesIndustry.biz, after the group announced it would be split into three, Wingfors told us he hasn't been, quote, taking a lot of hits and criticism, both internationally and in Sweden, end quote.
Damn.
It's been painful, he said, but I still believe in what we do. I believe in my teams and the vision we set out. I also believe the public markets, if we do it right, are a fantastic place to finance your business and tap into both investors and the debt market. But you need to execute well. If you do, it could be a fantastic platform to enable growth and to really have a competitive edge, end quote. While many game firms have implemented widespread layoffs in the past 18 months, Embracer has been under particular scrutiny due to its 9-month restructuring program that followed 6 years of aggressive mergers and acquisitions and the collapse of a $2 billion investment deal by Savvy Games Group. At the DICE Awards back in February, Kinda Funny CEO Craig Miller even joked on stage that one of two things people in the industry don't want to hear is the Embracer Group are here, adding, quote, they've really fucked up this place, haven't they, end quote. When asked how he responds to such criticism, Wingfors told us, quote, as a leader and an owner, sometimes you need to take the blame and you need to be humble about it if you've made mistakes and if you could have done something differently. He continued, I'm sure I deserve a lot of criticism, but I don't think my teams or companies deserve all the criticism. I can take a lot of that blame myself. But ultimately, I need to believe in the mission we set out and that it is still valid. And we are now enabling that by doing this new structure. I still feel I have that I have the trust from many or all of my key entrepreneurs and CEOs that have joined the group. It's been difficult, but I think they all believed in the mission of Embracer. They also understand that the world has changed. We need to change. It's painful. We can't make all the games we wanted to make 3 years ago, but we need to adapt to it. We will still make games, We still have one of the biggest, if not the biggest pipeline of games in the industry. And we have great plans over the coming years or decades, end quote. When asked about what his mistakes were, Wingfors did not get into specifics, instead referencing a long list of things he and Embracer Group could have done differently, but standing by the company's overall strategy.
There's a way that this guy talks that just feels slimy, of just like, I have the trust from many or all of my people. We still have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, things, and we have plans for the coming years or decades. It's really covering a lot of bases here. Do you think that this man Lars heard the quote from Greg Miller? Like, because the way that this article is, do you think that he's responding though to Greg's quote?
I mean, I think I imagine that when asking the question, James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz, right? Because like this is a James Batchelor interview, or at least this is a GamesIndustry.biz interview. I think they must have brought up the quote, because he says at the DICE Awards, they mention it when asked how he responds to such criticism.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
is Greg.
Yeah, like GamesIndustry.biz was like, so at the DICE Awards, which is like one of the biggest gaming awards, this was said. How do you respond to like people that say these things? I think the way they wrote it here sounds like Lars at the very least heard that quote, or they told Lars that quote. No matter what,
how does that make you feel, Bless?
Good. Yeah. I like it. You know, like I think we have to hold people accountable, and we have to hold CEOs, especially CEOs of very large companies, to a high standard and hold their feet to the fire. Right? If you are fucking up the business, if you are responsible for thousands and thousands of people losing their jobs, you should hear these things, and we should hear what you have to say about making these mistakes. And not only to just your stakeholders, not only to the people that are responsible for giving you the money, like there are workers you have to answer to. There's an audience you have to answer to. You've canceled like all these projects. People want to hear what you have to say about this. And I think when I go through his response, right? Like I'm with you of like a lot of it sounds uncertain. I think slimy is the way you can put it. But to a certain extent, I think he also is self-aware. Like I think there is that essence of, oh yeah, like I fucked up here. I don't know how bad he feels about it. I'm sure he feels somewhat bad. Like
that's the thing,
you
though,
have to feel bad for like fucking up so bad that
he's just talking about facts, though, right? It's like I feel like that's the thing, is it's like it's not like there's opinions on how this all went down. It's like these studios were closed, these people were laid off, these games are not being made. It's like, yeah, you are the leader of this, you are the one responsible. And them saying that they understand that the world's changed, we need to change, it's painful. And all that. And it's like, yeah, that's all true. Like, there's no getting around all this stuff. But then there is the question of like, all right, but what are we going to do? And I think that's where we're all sitting here of just like, all right, we hear this and like they're taking the criticism and they understand where they're at. Good. Now what? I think is the bigger thing of like, what's the proof of this?
I think the now what I think is where he probably doesn't even want to answer that question.
Exactly.
Because I think in the past, like, I mean, they mentioned we got to exploit Lord of the Rings. Like that is the now what, mm-hmm. right? The now what are answers that we don't want to hear. And that goes back to what the big story was yesterday of
Hobbits and
Embracer
Friends.
Group is, yeah, like splitting into three different groups. One of those groups is literally Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, right? Like that is where they see the money. They're like, hey, what is the most capitalistic, like strategic thing we can do that might save us? And I look at that and I'm like, I don't think that's enough, right? From the outside looking in, I'm sure anybody can look at it and go, yeah, that's probably enough. You're just going to make Lord of the Rings games and Tomb Raider for a group that is so fucking big, right? That you're splitting it into three groups.
For a group that says we still have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, pipelines of games in the industry. Yeah. And it's like, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Riding on Lord of the Rings.
And we don't even know if it's good Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. No, it's just Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Gollum came out last year. Yeah. And that was the worst game of last year. You know, like, what do these Lord of the Rings games look like? Are they actually going to live up? Or Lord of the Rings projects, I could say. Because I think they just own Lord of the Rings, period. Which is crazy.
They own the Rings, man. But yeah, like, I feel like how many, even if they're Shadow of Mordor's. Right? Like, even if they have the big hits, it's not going to be enough to save Embracer. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's...
Yeah, like, I think we're going to be barreling down this long, maybe long, maybe it's shorter than we think, right? Mm-hmm. I made this bet with somebody on a show of, like, how long do we see Embracer last? I don't know if... I think in the next 5 years, if Embracer goes down, they end up selling all these things. If there we go. It's a pizza bet.
I don't know why that scared me as much as it did, but it did.
I think it was the lights. Lights coming on. It felt like when there's like an officer in your rear view and they started like doing their
it
lights.
It really did. the hair on the back of my neck stood up. A pizza bet on how long Embracer lasts.
This is a dark pizza bet to make.
Yeah.
But I give them 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah. I think two years before we get the story that is Embracer selling off everybody, Crystal's being sold off, or like whatever it is. And then, Embracer's going down.
I mean, when you said that, I thought you were crazy. Mm-hmm. But then thinking through it, it's like, at the rate that news stories are coming out about Embracer changing up its plans, seemingly just they're treading water and they're just trying to not drown. You get tired at a certain point, you know?
Yeah. To be fair,
I think
it'll
be around longer than 2 years.
Lars in his quote yesterday was like, I'm here till like 2041 or some shit. Yeah. Like I'm committed to this company. And so maybe there's something there. Maybe they have access to just a bunch of cash flow that we don't know about.
I think that they also lost a bunch of cash flow. You're saying 2 years. I think that they'll be around for at least 5 years.
All right. I'm down to take that bet.
Fuck it. Why not? Cool. Let's have some fun here.
Are you doing Price is Right rules? Like, if they close down in, let's say, 4 years, is that me or is that you?
It's neither of us, because you're saying two.
Oh, so we're hitting it, like, directly on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
There we go. Lock it in, everybody.
Lock. Do you want me to play the graphic one more time?
Yeah, just one more time. Just for good measure. You know what I mean?
Let's go. I want some pizza. I'm hungry. They did, on Friday, we watched... Predator,
mm-hmm.
did a live watch with Elise and James and like a whole group of us here, and we ordered Square Pie Guys. One, it was my first time watching Predator. Good movie.
Yeah,
it's a very good movie. Secondly, though, like there was like one leftover pepperoni pizza that we had from Square Pie Guys, so I took it home, and I forgot about it. And I woke up on Sunday, looked at the fridge, saw it, and I was like, this is it right here. That hit.
Hell yeah.
If you're looking for something that hits, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Kind of Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kind of Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes on a weekly basis, the Kind of Funny podcast, In Review, the Kind of Funny Gamescast, P.S. I Love You, XOXO, the Kind of Funny Xcast, the brand new series Kind of Funny Game Showdown. 5 episodes of Kinda Funny Games Daily and 5 exclusive Greg Way vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's going to be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kinda Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Greg Way. You can get your Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindafunny or youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kinda Funny membership offering to YouTube, so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kinda Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kinda Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kinda Funny membership available on both patreon.com/kindafunny and youtube.com/kindafunnygames is where we see the value of what we do. Kinda Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
And we're back. With story number 3, Atari relaunches Infogrames and acquires Totally Reliable Delivery Service. This is Marie Dallas Andre at GamesIndustry.biz. Atari has announced a revival of the Infogrames brand, relaunching it as a publishing label. Infogrames will focus on publishing and acquiring IP, the first of which being Totally Reliable Delivery Service, which it purchased from Tiny Build. The terms of the acquisition were not disclosed, but Atari said it includes the 2019 game, its trademarks, and underlying property. Infogrames will, in particular, focus on properties that fall, quote, outside the core portfolio of IP associated with the Atari brand, the announcement said, adding that game preservation will also be a core aspect of the label. The new publisher will be led by Atari COO Jeffrey Chateauvieux as manager. He commented, quote, with Totally Reliable Delivery Service, Infogrames is starting off with a strong IP that has a loyal and enthusiastic player base. The Infogrames team will be able to expand upon the strong work of Tiny Build and re-energize this high-potential franchise. Atari CEO Wade Rosen also said, quote, for decades, Infogrames built a reputation as a publisher and developer of amazing and eclectic games, and we are excited to bring it back. It looks like Greg Miller had a tweet associated with this.
I just put a tweet in there for us to bring up and watch in just a second after we talk about this. But this is one of those weird ones where I didn't know that they went away, but I'm also like, yeah, I guess I haven't heard about their name in a long time. And they're one of the ones that I'm like, I don't really have any personal attachment to.
I had to do some some Googling. I'm like, I know the Infogrames name, but I couldn't attach it to anything in my brain. And correct me if I'm wrong, Infogrames was just like an era of Atari? Is it like what Atari was called for a couple years?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And like the funny thing there is like I've never thought about it more than I have right now.
Yeah.
That I never realized there was an R in there. I thought it was just Infogrames. No Grames.
Mm, yeah, when this first popped, I was like, so like educational games. I was trying to figure out what it was.
That's weird. And so here's the thing. Now I want to bring up this tweet from Greg. I don't have the context to this, but this is from some old Game Scoop of Greg Miller and Damon Hatfield from IGN, mm-hmm. Where they sang a song about Infogrames.
Infogrames?
Yeah.
This is
fascinating.
And
then it was animated.
Listeners, last week got to hear a wonderful...
things are happening.
Last week we shared the Infogrames theme song with Infogrames. You. The first time I had heard it. I was blown away. So the GameScoop band here, we've come up with our own rendition of the Infogrames theme song that we'd like to send you off with today. We hope you like it.
There's NASCAR heat, Tonka Town. Stuntman makes my head spin around. Beachhead Trans World, Freddy Five.
It's great to know Greg's not changed.
Not changed at all.
Test Drive, Survivor Civilization.
We gotta keep going, guys.
Superman, we really don't. We could stop. Nation. We could stop this right now.
NSYNC Hotline, Dragon Ball.
I'm sure this is not gonna claim, have dark, claim issues.
And that's not all.
You think it ends? No.
Rules my world. Entertainment.
Rocks my world.
Infograms.
That coming too early.
That's President Greg Miller for audio listeners.
He they level it up, dude.
Are these actual Infograms games?
Oh, yeah.
That rocks my
world. My sister's like, I'm getting into it.
This kind of goes hard. I'm not going to lie.
Amazing.
Wow.
You cut it off. Episode 31 of Game Scoop.
That's wild.
So nearly 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I'm rounding quite a bit, I guess. Hi, how you doing? 17 years ago.
What is Infograms?
It was this publishing label from Atari that published a whole bunch of different games and stuff. And so it's crazy they're bringing it back. Insane that they're bringing it back. I woke up and the first tweet I saw was Mitch Dyer, who said, Greg, wake up. And it was a response to the announcement that they're bringing this fucking publishing label back.
What the fuck? Okay. So, like, is this like almost like when they brought back THQ? It's THQ Nordic.
Similar.
Where it's like,
yeah,
why
yeah,
the
yeah.
fuck are you back?
For sure. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Because, yeah, does anyone out there have great memories of Infograms as a label?
Again, I don't associate their name with any game. This is the way, so, what would you say? Do they have like what you would constitute as their biggest?
Unreal Tournament Test Drive.
Rocks my world.
So, hold on. Real,
sorry, you're right.
Kevin,
right,
that was my tweet, right?
Yes, it was.
Can you go back to it? And then underneath it, I responded with just a YouTube link.
Did they really do the Dragon Ball Z games?
That is a kid who put up the actual Infogram song. Because the idea here is, and I'm rusty, obviously, is that I think it was their E3 presentation, but it might have just been some presentation they flew a bunch of games journalists to, where like you sat down for the press conference and they played this fucking song, like full on. Like, we are
Wait
in.
Wait a minute. You guys didn't make that up?
No, please. Did you see the YouTube link? Because it's some kid uploaded where it's the original song followed by our version. So scroll down, and it should be the response right there from me. Yeah. So it's the real Infogram song here.
It's NASCAR heat, Tonka Town.
That man makes more hair. I stopped it early.
Yeah, I did. I'm blown away by this.
Play it again. Let it go.
My hair has been round.
Transworld, ready five, Unreal tournament, test drive. You're lying.
So no here's way. What I want you all. No keep let it roll. Real. Let it roll, Kev.
Let it roll.
The next time you're watching a Coke media presentation and you're like, this fucking sucks, remember that they used to do this shit.
I love it.
Yes.
And then wait for the drop.
I love it. He just coughs.
I want
on
this
you.
For every yeah. showcase. Step it
it's
up, Nintendo
the fact
Directs.
That I'm looking up these games.
Dude!
This is insane.
And harmonizing going on. Got it, girl. Oh my god,
that's awesome.
Hold on. We got Herbie Aroga saying this went from awful to awesome so quick.
It's 5 minutes long.
Well, no, because they also then do Greg's version after.
I have so many questions.
Let it play
a little bit, because then they're like, all right, now we're going to shove all the games in.
It's like the Pokemon song where they list all the Pokemon. The Pokerap.
God damn. Key change.
This is like some S Club 7 shit.
It really is, dude. What a time to be alive.
This is incredible.
If a Atari isn't rocking this in the office all day long.
Dude.
I need the 2024 version.
We gotta do it.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. We gotta band together is kind of funny and do this for Summer Game Fest.
We gotta do this for the next Kind of Funny Game Showcase. Yeah. Just seeing all the games that are included in the showcase.
They went so hard.
Who sings this?
We need to dive deeper into this. Phenomenal gameplay, everyone.
I cannot believe this is real.
I can't believe it's still going. I'm looking up Infogrames on Spotify right now to see if I can find it there.
They're about to skyrocket. That's why they brought him back. They only brought him back to make a sequel to this.
This turned me around on this whole news story.
Yeah. This is good news.
At first I was like, why are we doing this? But now I'm like, let it happen. let them come back.
It's about time we had some good news again in gaming, you know?
I know. Good for them.
They just don't make them like this anymore.
Wait, did they do the thing where they list all the games?
Okay, we can stop now. Wow, that was such a journey.
I don't know if it's a Mandela effect or if I also crossed the universe like Greg did earlier, but now I'm like looking up box arts for games that I owned, and like I dropped one in assets for Dragon Ball Z Budokai, which I had I had the box, I played a billion hours of Dragon Ball Z Budokai, and the Infogrames logo was on the bottom right of the box, and I swear to God, I've never seen this shit before. How the fuck is the Infogrames logo?
I can't even imagine
materializing.
What it would look. Yeah, no, I'm looking at it now, and I don't recognize.
When
that.
Did this happen?
I don't know.
Apparently, they did backyard baseball and all the backyard sports.
We're being
games.
Bamboozled here. They had a whole song.
Do you think it kind of looks like a little armadillo?
I can see that. Yeah,
does.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like armadillos.
Shout out to armadillos.
Shout out to Infogrames.
Yeah, I guess they're out here, you know?
Yeah, I guess they're out here.
They be doing stuff.
We'll see what they do in 2024. Hopefully they drop another single.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I mean, apparently they're dropping another totally reliable delivery service game.
I really think this is something we need to get Andy on ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
Not Nick. Keep him away.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick would love this.
Yeah.
But he
probably already knows about
Nick
this.
Nick just does this.
He probably produced that video.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. The story number four, an Xbox VR headset is on the way, but it's a limited edition Meta Quest. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. Microsoft is teaming up with Meta to create a limited edition Meta Quest VR headset that's inspired by Xbox. While both Microsoft and Meta aren't sharing full details on this VR headset, it sounds like it's simply going to be a skinned Meta Quest 3 or feature unannounced version that comes bundled with an Xbox controller. Quote, "We're working together again with Microsoft to create a limited edition Meta Quest inspired by Xbox," says Meta in an announcement today. It's part of Meta opening up its operating system that powers its Quest VR headsets to third-party hardware makers. Asus and Lenovo are creating dedicated headsets that run the Meta Horizon OS, but the partnership with Microsoft sounds like it's simply a limited edition headset, much like how Microsoft creates limited edition Xbox consoles. In an Instagram post, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg says the version of the headset that is being teased today, quote, "comes out the box with Xbox controllers and Game Pass, so you can immediately just start playing on a big screen anywhere you go," end quote.
Pretty badass. Like, this is such a smart partnership, and it really doubles down on what Microsoft and Xbox have been building of the Play Anywhere. And like, yeah, VR is a place to play, right? And like, make it easy. It comes with the controller, comes with Game Pass. You have an instant library of a bunch of Xbox games, past, present, and future. You want to play Hellblade 2 coming out soon? Hey, you've been looking for an excuse to get into the world of VR. You don't have a giant TV. This might be a good way to
get in that VR theater.
Get in there, dude.
Honestly, might not be a bad way to play Hellblade 2. Like, now that you say that out loud, I didn't think about Hellblade 2, but that'd be a pretty good one to play on like a big screen while you're in VR with the headsets, everything just like filtered out. You're not being distracted by shit.
No.
It's just you.
You and the voices.
And the voices. But yeah, I think it sounds cool. It's like another reaffirmation of we are not getting an Xbox VR headset probably ever, which is okay.
I really don't think that they should.
Yeah.
It's not the time. Like, I think there might have been a time, but I think it's probably a good thing when we look back in retrospect.
I'm very fine with Xbox, and I'm because
they did try HoloLens, right? They did try to do stuff, and instead they also like had their whole Kinect situation that went very well for them, you know.
Fine, like Kinect.
Kinect sold well, right? Like Kinect sold incredibly well, and like the Dance Central and that other game that they had, you know, in terms of sales, it did great. But like in terms of, you know, lasting appeal, yeah, it didn't. But that's what
it did great until like that was part of a big selling point of Xbox One. I feel like that hampered the Xbox One launch.
God bless. I will never forget. Fran Mirabella reviewed the Xbox One when it first came out, and mm-hmm. he just locked himself in a room, the demo room at IGN, for like a week. And he just walked by and he just hear Xbox on Xbox play Fitness Manager.
God bless. Story number five: Watch Dogs is dead and buried. It is claimed. This is Anthony Fortino at Insider Gaming. In a new post on Twitter, known leaker Jonathan has claimed that they believe. I don't know why Jonathan made me laugh. Known leaker Jonathan.
It's, hey, that's better than fucking like sperm giggle 42 or
that's
whatever.
That's true. It's Jonathan with a zero also. Known leaker J0 Nathan has claimed that they believe the Watch Dogs series is dead and buried, possibly due to the poor performance of Watch Dogs Legion. Though loosely translated, the post also appears to suggest that Legion's failure compromised, quote, a fairly original battle royale, end quote. While there have been no official updates on the series' future regarding new games, last month, new reports revealed that a Watch Dogs movie adaptation is in the works from New Regency. Despite the perception of the series, Ubisoft's AAA games frequently sell just fine. The Watch Dogs series had solid performances for the first two games. The original game hit 10 million copies sold in 2014. Watch Dogs 2 launched in 2016, selling 10 million units by March 2020. An old report from VG Charts adds that Watch Dogs Legion managed to sell 1.9 million digital units in just 3 days. The article sourced super data for the sales information. In the UK, the game also made the top 20 PlayStation 5 sales in January 2023, according to a GamesIndustry.biz report. This is a grain of salt one, of mm-hmm. course, coming from Insider Gaming, coming from a leaker like
Jonathan.
Coming from Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I don't know this Jonathan guy personally.
No.
But I think it's interesting, just the idea of like, does the world fuck with Watch Dogs on that level?
So that's the thing, is I think that they do fuck with Watch Dogs on a level that could lead to success. But on the level that Ubisoft needs it to, that Ubisoft in 2024 needs it to, probably not. And I think that's just, again, the state of the industry, but also more so the state of Ubisoft. Of, we talked so much about them trying to get back on their feet and trying to define who they are and what their cadence of releases is going to look like going forward. What I'm interested in here is obviously lots of grains of salt, and I imagine we will see Watch Dogs again at some point, but mm-hmm. it's probably just on ice for right now. But the concept of there still being a movie coming out potentially, I believe it now more than ever, with the rate at which movies are being announced and actually coming out. We have Knuckles coming out, bless, in 3 days.
Have you seen the reviews?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the ones I saw weren't great.
Oh, well, were they not great, or were they just like, oh, Knuckles isn't in it that much?
Well, yeah, the way they were like, that's Knuckles all they is not said? In it. But yeah. Like, I want to see if I'm watching Knuckles show and he's not in it.
I know,
there.
But then people did breakdowns of it and were just like, yeah, but like compare that to how much Sonic was in the Sonic movie, or compare that to how much Godzilla was in the Godzilla movie.
Was Sonic not? Sonic was in the Sonic movie a lot.
Knuckles is in the Knuckles show more than Sonic was in Sonic 1. These are just right. The facts, everybody.
It's been a while since I've seen Sonic 1. And yeah. So, like, it'd be hilarious to go back and be like, saying. Yo, where the fuck has Sonic been in this whole movie?
That's all I'm saying. But going back to this, I think that we don't have too much time to talk about it now, but I think an interesting conversation we should have soon is looking at video game adaptations and things like Fallout. And we've had a lot of conversation of, like, did Bethesda and Xbox miss the mark by not having a new Fallout game coinciding with the Fallout show and the success of it? If Watch Dogs were to have a movie come out, and let's just pretend it's good, right? Is it going to be a miss for them to not have a new Watch Dogs? Or are we overthinking this and the backlog kind of speaks for itself?
I think the backlog speaks for itself.
And just at the
itself.
Point that games are at now, things have just gotten technically so good that Watch Dogs Legion is still going to play very well, or as well as it ever did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the difference, right? I think, like, when you're talking about Watch Dogs versus a Fallout, the last mainline Fallout game really came out in 2015. So it's been almost 10 years, whereas Watch Dogs has had so many franchise entries since then, right? Like, the first Watch Dogs came out, 2013, 2014, one of those. And since then, we've gotten Watch Dogs 2. We have Watch Dogs Legion. Like, at the very least, you have a current-gen game in Watch Dogs Legion that people can pick up and play after the Watch Dogs movie comes out, if that's even a worry. Like, I'm on the other side of, I don't I would love for a Watch Dogs movie to come out and be dope. I got zero faith that a Watch Dogs movie is going to be any better than the Assassin's Creed movie that came out in the last, however long that was, like 5 years ago or so.
It was more than that, but yeah.
Was it really?
I mean, yeah, 5 years ago, Avengers Endgame came out. So yeah, I think.
Oh,
it was
yeah. Oh, it must have been like maybe 6, 7 years ago in that case. But even still, right? Like, I don't expect much out of the Watch Dogs movie, but yeah, even if it comes out and it's somehow a cultural phenomenon, I think you go, people can pick up Watch Dogs 2, people can pick up Watch Dogs Legion. Like, there are so many modernized points of entry for that that I'm not too worried about it. I honestly believe this for the fact of, you know, I think Watch Dogs works because it is this open world like city game that you're driving around and doing all the, like, third person shooter. Existing in a time where our last Grand Theft Auto game came out in 2013. Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming out next year. If I'm Ubisoft, I'm like, cool. Watch Dogs is on ice until at least 4 years. Until 4 years after GTA 6 comes out.
Very good point.
We are not putting out a Watch Dogs anywhere near this. Yeah. Because that GTA 6 is going to be the only type of that game that people are going to want to play for that vicinity of time. And so I believe it. I'd like to see more new life breathed into Watch Dogs. I think there's something there. I thought Watch Dogs Legion was such a neat idea, but I don't think it hit in the way that it should have hit for an idea that I thought was so cool.
When did they make Grand Theft Auto a movie or show, bless? We don't need to talk about that now, but just think about it.
Yeah, dude, I'd be down for it. I think that'd be really cool.
I think at this point, I think for a long time it would have been like, they're never going to do it. It's impossible. And now I'm like, it's a certainty. It will happen.
Certainty. I hope it happens. I wonder if it's one of those ones where, one, they don't need the money of a movie. No. GTA makes enough money as a video game, and I wonder if they're worried about, okay, if a GTA movie is anything less than stellar, then are we fucking up the brand a little bit?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
What I do know is that was a really big news story to talk about. In fact, all these stories have been so big, Tim.
So big.
But I wanted something smaller. Say the tiniest news I need to know about. Where would I look?
You go to our last story, the Wii News channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
That's right. It's time. Story number 6 is Wii News. Rock Band 4 guitar controller support for Fortnite Festival is now available.
Cool.
Metaphor ReFantazio launches October 11th on Xbox Series X, PS5, and PC. Me and Barrett did a live reaction to the Metaphor ReFantazio stream that they did yesterday. You can check that out.
How
on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm moderately hyped.
Okay.
I think the presentation they did a lot for setting my own expectations of what the game is going to be. I see it as a... This is our new take on what, like, a Persona structure can be. Like, they have all the same stuff, right? It is, okay, there are social links that are essentially bonds. They have, like, a similar looking battle system, similar looking class system. Like, for every element they have in Persona, there feels like there's an analog to it in Metaphor ReFantazio, which isn't a bad thing. Plenty of people like that gameplay style, that gameplay loop. But then they also have, yeah, like, a different kind of setting, something that feels a bit more, like, medieval fantasy, which I really like. You know, I'm into art style, seems cool. I gotta rewatch the stream though on in a native video as opposed to the stream, because I think the stream did a lot for just fucking up with like what the visuals look like.
You know,
the bitrate wasn't as nice as I needed it to like see this kind of thing, but you know, it looks cool. Well, I'm excited for it. I'm gonna play it. At least I'm gonna try it out and see if it's my thing when it comes out. But hopefully, my hope is that we see it sometime in the summer. I think there was something where they talk about like I forget what it was.
Well, if it's coming October, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up getting to play it at Summer Game Fest.
Like, I'm pretty sure they said something along the lines of like new information in June, or there's something dropping in like June-ish.
Okay, cool.
And so I think we'll probably see it at like E3 type thing. I guess E3's dead. So wild that E3's dead.
Fucking wild, bless.
Moving on, Dead by Daylight tweeted out, good news for PS5 and Xbox Series X players. We've reduced Dead by Daylight's file size by almost 20 gigabytes. This change will be in effect after today's update. Marvel Rivals closed alpha begins on May 10th. Zenless Zone Zero might launch on July 3rd, according to a posted date on the App Store. And Xbox has shown off an X-Men-themed console and accessories you can win via a sweepstakes. Kevin has it pulled up. Kevin, you can scroll down because I think there's a picture with like a bunch of different controllers. Yeah.
Oh, what?
Can you like size that up? Is there a way to click into it?
This is so cool.
Like, how cool are these?
These are so cool, and I even love the little boxes they're in.
Yeah, so they have a bunch of different controllers representing, looks like different X-Men.
God, I love this.
Yeah, the Wolverine one looks so
honestly
clean.
All of them. I feel like the Morph and Wolverine look a lot alike. Could have put a little bit more effort, but skin tone one would be creepy.
Skin, yeah. They got the skin tone on the little D-pad.
Yeah, is that, or is that chrome, like metal?
That's his face. He's chrome.
He's chrome?
No, I'm just saying shit. I don't
know. Okay, I thought so. God damn
this show's
you.
So good, boys.
Yeah, these are all specifically X-Men 97, which is dope. Are you caught up?
Oh, yeah.
So good. Oh. I'm really, really digging X-Men 97.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad it exists. Again, I mentioned this to you, I think, when we first started talking about it, but it's such a good reminder of how good X-Men is.
Phenomenal.
Like, for me, especially as somebody who doesn't read comics, right? Like, I feel like I've been so parched for good X-Men. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be here.
You're swimming in it now.
I'm swimming in it. Deadpool and Wolverine coming soon.
I know.
That's it for Wii News. Also, man, I'm mad that this is a sweepstakes. I'm mad I can't just, like, buy these things.
Xbox, man. They be doing this all the time.
Every single time. Just put it on a store. Let me buy it for a limited time. Give me, like, a month where I can buy it. I'll buy at least two of these controllers. Tim,
mm-hmm.
I got for you an NVIDIA GeForce update. Of course, we've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games. The king of Steam wishlists is the medieval city builder Manor Lords, with millions of gamers getting ready to play this title when it launches to early access this Friday. It's arriving with DLSS 2, which means GeForce RTX users can take advantage of a 47% average boost to performance. Also, in the Steam top 20 most wishlisted titles, Gray Zone Warfare, an upcoming tactical shooter, will be arriving with full complement of NVIDIA DLSS 3 Reflex and ray-traced Unreal Engine 5 Lumen lighting.
Holy Trinity.
It'll make this game one of the highest performing and immersive shooters to date. Whether solo or squad, get all those frames and the lowest latency possible with GeForce Tech. And today, it might be time to jump back into Remnant 2 with the new DLC, The Forgotten Kingdom. Remnant 2 gamers on 40 series GeForce RTX cards can enjoy the AI-boosted power of NVIDIA DLSS 3 featuring frame generation to get 3.5 times the frame rates out of this title for excellent battling action.
3.5 times the frame rates, man. That's an Andy Cortez special right there.
A lot of frame
rates.
And
with this game, that makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get in there. Remnant 2, Forgotten Kingdom.
We should get back.
Get back.
Get back.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
Before we get to your wrong, we got some super chats.
Super chats.
Optimus Prime writes in and says, the next KF showcase or KFD? KFD. Kind of funny.
KFD?
KFD. Maybe they forgot the G. Maybe they meant KFGD.
They must have meant KFGD.
Oh, I see. KFGD 2025 / 10th anniversary. Oh, KF Day.
KF Day.
Oh, KF Day. That's what it is.
Okay, yeah,
the next
yeah.
KF Showcase or KF Day 2025 needs to have an opening song instead of the hype trailer.
Infograms, dude.
Infograms. We've learned a lot today.
We did.
I love that for us.
What an adventure.
I went from not knowing anything about infograms
to knowing it all.
To knowing they have a theme song and knowing that they published Dragon Ball Z Budokai. Good for them. Portland Kevin says, thank you for taking me back to listening to Game Scoop in my college dorm room in 2008. Infograms is an innovation. I also listen to a lot of Game Scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game Scoop might low-key be one of the reasons why we have Game Showdown.
Yeah.
It's because they did the 20 questions at mm-hmm. the end. They started doing that like at the end of every episode. I was always invested in 20 questions. I love listening along.
Oh, yeah.
It was always the best when I would get it before any of the
any listeners.
I'm like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
All right. Obviously, he's talking about the Deadpool video game, but you guys don't know.
Come on.
Ravi G. Marquez writes in and says, hello, guys. I'm curious. Do you keep track of your yearly pizza bets? If yes, how about we have a yearly review of how everyone ranked on them? Thanks for all your great work. Me and Roger definitely made good on pizza bets that we've had. And I feel like there have been a couple of times where we definitely made good on pizza
bets. We definitely don't keep track, but people are really good about reminding us. And then when they do, sometimes we react to that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we made it more of an official thing, but, you know, that requires us doing that. So.
And a lot of our pizza bets are so far in advance.
Yeah.
You know, when's the PlayStation 6 going to come out? hopefully in 4 years, mm-hmm. one of our audience members tweets at us with a clip that's like, hey, you guys made a pizza bet, and then we're able to make good on it. Yeah. So, yeah, we're trying to rely on y'all to help us keep true to that. But, like, there are ones that we've definitely, like, me and Roger bought each other pizza and ate the pizza on a stream. So, like, we've definitely kept up with some of them.
Yeah. My favorite pizza bet I ever made, I don't even remember who I made it to. I think it was Andrew or Renee, but it might have been Jared Petty, but it might have been both.
Mm-hmm.
But it was me being like, Nintendo will release a Switch that does not switch. And they're like, you're crazy. And we have the Switch Lite, everybody. So
damn. Look at that. Never doubt him.
Never doubt me, everybody. Or doubt me if you want. It's okay.
Satwood says, hey, Tim, with Maxine out in July, any interest in T.I. West's X trilogy for in review?
Definite interest. I haven't seen any of them. I really want to. Seems very up my alley. We probably won't do those for in review, and we definitely won't in the time frame. There's a lot of in review stuff going on the next couple months that I'm very excited about. So,
T. West? Who's T. West?
Or the guy, the director of XXX and Maxine.
Oh, I see. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I thought T.I. was making a new album. Yeah. I was like, T.I. in review? Let's fucking do it. Live your life. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. We got your wrongs from yesterday that somebody forgot to delete.
Somebody.
Missing Link says Pixar's Onward didn't have a short attached to it. The last Pixar short attached to a theatrical movie was Bao, the one with the dumpling, which was shown with Incredibles 2 in 2018.
But then Carl going on a date, we definitely saw in theaters.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think this kid's wrong. You're wrong. That's
I'm interested, what movie would that have been in then?
And I won't look it up. I just go with my feelings.
Yeah.
Kebab says the original Fortnite Save the World released in June 2017. The Battle Royale mode entered early access 3 months later in September. I mean, that's not a year wrong. We corrected that. Or no, that wasn't really a year wrong. We knew that. We're just saying it felt weird. Listen, don't come at me with years, all right? I know years. I know dates.
He knows them dates.
It's the only thing I'm confident in. Spice says you could purchase Kratos and Master Chief on any platform, but on PlayStation you got a variant of Kratos with armor, and on Xbox you get black color Master Chief.
Yep. I was gonna mention that. Yeah. It's cool the black variant for Master Chief, and you can only play it on the Xbox. Otherwise, you get the normal green. Yes, Tim.
Carl's date was with Elemental.
Yes, I see. It's all.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, we remember things differently, you know.
And how was Elemental?
It was fine, but it's definitely low on the Pixar rankings. Mm. I feel like what it had going for it was good. I feel like they didn't quite hit what they were going for. Mm. Some weird characters in it too.
It felt a little bit more childish than it should have been. The big topic that they were covering was like interracial couples, and a lot of the stuff it hit real like spot on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting. It's good. I liked it.
Kebab says the Infogrames logo is supposed to look like an armadillo. The new logo is much more overt about it. That's neat.
Fucking nailed it.
Shout out to them fucking armadillos, man.
We don't give enough respect to armadillos.
Roger just met one.
Yeah, you and Roger just met one?
No, just Roger.
When? Oh, was it the one that he met?
Leanne's.
No, it was the other one, bless.
I forgot that it was an armadillo. In my head, it was a different animal.
You met a whole bunch of animals.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
It wasn't
just
an armadillo.
But I think weren't they going for a specific animal? Because Leanne's is a big fan
sloths.
Of
sloths.
Yeah, Leanne's are like sloths. I think that was the whole
thing.
We're
all good listeners here. I'm proud of all of us. All right. I got a cute one. And then ready for a horrifying image?
Yeah, show me.
It's not real.
Okay. Oh my God.
I told you. I had to see it, so I had to show you guys.
Elden Ring.
Let's go back to cute. Look at his little claw. He got one big one. What are you doing with that big claw?
Was that on the first page when you just typed in armadillo?
It really was. So armadillo is right there.
Internet's gone to shit.
Yeah. It's a problem. Like,
hold on.
This is
you can buy it on Etsy.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't.
How much is it?
No,
we don't need
to
know.
What's the price, though? It looks like a good deal.
And $76.
What the fuck? How big is it?
It doesn't matter. Like, I don't want to know more about this. In fact,
it better be big as the video wall.
Look at the baby armadillo. I'm trying to forget.
Sandshrew and Sandslash, baby.
Kebab says the Assassin's Creed movie released in 2016, 8 years ago.
Wild, man.
Impossibilium says the Xbox sweepstakes only mentions the console and one controller, so the rest might be purchasable. I imagine that might be like a different controller. Is it like a raffle for the controller? Like, which controller do you get?
Can you imagine?
If they're purchasable, I'm purchasing one.
Winning seven or because
that's what you need
eight?
More Xbox controllers,
dude. It's crazy how many Xbox controllers I just have.
It's insane, man.
Like nowadays, like I show up to Secret Santa's with Xbox controllers. Yeah, I'm like, somebody please take this. I don't need this. And then Dan Roll says Carl on the date was for Elemental, and that's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all our shows ad-free, watch, score them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.